parents eager to learn today. I was just talking to some of you, and you said it's your last session was convicting. Today is convicting, I guess, in a lot of ways, but hopefully you're learning some tools to help you be better parents. So we're awful glad you're here. I would like to open us with a word of prayer. Dear God, I just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all these parents who've come, for the mothers, for the fathers. I just am thankful that we have this many parents that care about their family and care about you. I pray that this session would be used to your honor and glory, and I just thank you for it. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Melinda Rogers, minister to children, and I'm real happy to have with me here today, leading the session, Lynn Talley. Lynn has been a longtime friend. She worked with me in children's ministry for many years. She's had a lot of experience as a teacher. She taught in public school, a Christian private school, homeschool. So if you have any schooling questions, she's your woman because she's done it all. She knows all about each choice there. She's also a gifted artist, a mentor to a lot of teenage girls, and she's an experienced mother, daughter, and Lynn is part of a ministry called By Still Water. And the really cool thing about that ministry is that she is in the ministry with her mother and her daughter, three generations. So that's really cool. And speaking of Lynn's mother, back in 1979, I had my first baby, and I signed up for a parenting class at McKinney Church, and Lynn's mother was my teacher. And so a lot of the things I learned back in 1979 were about creating a healthy family culture. So it's kind of neat how this good information can be passed from generation to generation. So bottom line, we're really grateful to have Lynn with us here today. And speaking of bottom lines, let's get right to the bottom line of why we're here. Our goal is to encourage you to think about the environment in which you're raising your children. I, for one, have blind spots. Do any of you think you have blind spots? I'm afraid we all do. Years ago, my husband was on the deacon board, and every week he'd come home and say, Melinda, the same two or three guys have the same prayer request every week. Dear God, please let me have more time with my family. But they're not making any changes. And so my husband and I, we are aware that we have our own blind spots, but we try not to laugh too hard, but we kind of laugh because they were praying every week they'd have more time with their kids, but they weren't doing anything to change their schedule. So that's the kind of blind spots I can have, we can all have. So we're here to talk about what really matters in a family and how to make positive changes. I don't know about you guys, but I've always dreamed of being a person who's really put together. I've never quite achieved that goal. Just ask anybody in this room that knows me. So the good news about that, I had to learn to laugh at myself at an early age. But I had a real funny incident a few weeks ago, true story. I had a day where I felt like I was pretty put together, my clothes matched, my hair wasn't sticking up at least too bad, and I'd led a successful meeting. Thought, hey, man, I feel semi-put together today. But then the best part happened. I was in the hallway after the meeting, and somebody walked by who's one of the young, cool, trendy girls. And I'm not young, trendy, or cool, but anyway, she walked by and she said, oh, Melinda, I really like your purse. That is so cute. And I thought, wow, my hair's not sticking up. I'm matching, and a trendy girl liked my purse. It was awesome. So anyway, so I took my purse, my really cool purse, and I went into my office to prepare for the next meeting. And I put into my purse some important things. They were all good things. Some pens, some books, some notebooks, some paper. Then I started walking out of the office with my cool, trendy purse, whose straps happened to be made out of straw. And you might guess what happened. The straw began to unwind. Spring, spring, spring. All of a sudden, my purse was totally gone. It had bitten the dust. And let me just say, I was not good at creating a healthy purse environment. I had put too many things in my purse. So that kind of is, in a way, can lead us into what we're going to talk about today. What are you putting in your family life that is important? What things are too much? And what are healthy things to have in your family? So I'm going to turn it over to Lynn now. So you're going to enjoy what she has to say.
Well, I'm so excited to see you guys here because this is a subject I'm just super passionate about. I'll tell you just a little bit about myself. I've been married to my Baylor sweetheart for 37 years now, and we've got two kiddos, my oldest daughter, Erin, and her husband, Matt, and our two little granddaughters, Emma and Ellie, live about 5 minutes from us, so I get to see them almost every day, which is awesome. And Jessica and Erin kind of grew up together, so it's super fun to see her in here. And then my son got married in September, and they live in Oklahoma City. So Martin and I, probably like most of you, before we got married, we started thinking and talking about, okay, what do we want our family to be like? What do we want the Tallies? What do we want to be? Who do we want to be? What do we want for the atmosphere in our home? And so we started thinking about, okay, what are we aiming for? And like, what is a family culture? What is that? Well, the word culture comes from the word cultivate, like in the fields, like cultivate the soil. And from that arose cultivating your intellect, your mind, and your heart. And I guess we realized early on that the way our family culture had have to do with the way that we talked to each other, the way that we acted, what we did, how we responded to challenges, all of those things would come into our family culture. Like, who are we as a group? What is important to the Tallies? And as parents, I'm sure you know that we're constantly influencing the little souls that have been entrusted to us, either for the good or for the bad. And that we are cultivating something in our children, whether we realize it or not, just by the way that we live in front of them every day. And as Christ followers, which I don't think you guys would be here this morning if you weren't wanting to passionately seek after knowing the Lord in your families. Well, as Christ followers, we want to be planting good seeds in our children. And just realize that we're all cultivating something. And I love this scripture, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, and cultivate faithfulness. Well, early into motherhood, I heard an example that really stuck with me through all the ages that my kids were, whether they were little toddlers or elementary, junior high school. And honestly, I even still think about it now when my adult children come home. Like when Ryan and Heather come home, I think about, what do I want this weekend to be? Like, what do I want it to be like when my new daughter-in-law is here, you know? And I plan it out. It has to be intentional. But I love this analogy of comparing parenting to gardening. In both of those things, you have to pre-plan what you're going to do. You've got to work hard. You've got to be consistent. You've got to water and feed all the time. Now, certain plants grow better in certain conditions. Some of them need a real wet, shady spot. Some of them need a dry, sunny spot. They need to be placed a certain distance from the other plants so that they have room to grow and reach their full potential. I've got a garden out back, and almost every spring and fall, we do a garden. And I like to put flowers and vegetables in mine. But I've learned really early on that small habits done every day can pay big dividends. Like in the season, I'll have tomatoes all over every counter in my kitchen. And I'll bring carrots and squash and things to my friends. Because I would do a little, if I would stick with the little habits, like I get up in the morning, I go up the hill, and I water, and I weed a little bit every day, and I prune a little bit every day, and I fertilize once a month or whatever. I also realized that if I started getting lax and I missed a few days of watering, and I thought, oh, there's not that many weeds, I'm not going to deal with those right now, that things can get out of hand really quickly. And I feel like I've seen the same thing with children, that it's the little cultivating day in and day out. It pays huge dividends. And if things do get out of hand, it's not that you can't pull things back and that God can't do great and mighty things, but it's a lot of work when things get out of hand. Last summer, I had a new grandbaby and my son was getting married, and I had planted the garden and I had measured how far everything needed to be, and these need to be 4 inches and these need to be 3 feet. And I'd done all the work and I'd planted and things were starting to come up, but I just wasn't getting to it. And it just turned into a jungle. Is that it? Okay, so here's a picture of a garden that's been beautifully planned, spaced, designed, the taller things in the back, the shorter things in the front. It's been weeded, it looks beautiful. And we got a picture of one that has gotten out of hand. Is that it?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Things can get out of hand really quickly. So as parents, we need to really stay consistent with our spiritual habits, and we're going to be talking some about that today, through the different seasons of our soul, that we want to have our habits and our spiritual disciplines and just be consistent. One thing that I think is really important in our lives, just like in the lives of our children, is that more is not necessarily better. And I think our culture screams, well, you got to do sports and you got to do this and you got to do ballet and you got to do music lessons and they've got to go to this school and they've got to make the best grades. And if they're going to be successful, they have to have all these things. You got to just be... And I just feel like the Lord says to us as Christ followers, you've got to be still and know that I am God. And that takes some discipline to be still, and it takes some planning. And as parents, especially if you've got young children, this is a small window of time that you are responsible for their schedule. You can actually, it's just such a precious window, because the older they get, the more they're out there making their own choices, which is what you want. But to just be real intentional about the things that you want to plant. Every season, every year, we would really pray and say, Lord, what would you have us take away? What do we need to weed out of Ryan's schedule or Aaron's schedule? What is not pouring in all the good, godly things that are important to us as a family? Faithfulness, honor, respect, time with the Lord, time for us to be a family. And just like, I always felt like it would be so easy for me if there was a good choice and a bad choice. And it was real obvious. Of course, I would say, oh God, I'll pick the good thing for my child. But it's not that easy, because there's lots and lots of good things, okay? There's nothing bad about them. They're not evil. But the choices really are between what's good and what's best. And so every year, every season, we would prayerfully say, Lord, show us what is best for this little guy, this little plant, for this little girl. What does she need? What does she need? And how can we give them some space to breathe? Just like adults need time to be still and know that I'm God, children need the space and time to be quiet. They need to get out in God's beautiful creation and enjoy it. They need to learn to create things on their own. We would have a rest time, and they could read books, look at books. They could build with their Legos. They could listen to a story hour tape about, great Bible heroes or something. But they learned to have quiet time. And children really need that to develop their brains really well. I love this scripture about do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that is what he will also reap. So to me, I felt like that was kind of an awesome promise. Like, if I'm planting an apple's going to grow. I can't plant thistle and expect a peach tree. But it was also like a warning, like, Lynn, pay attention. What are you planting? What's the atmosphere of your home? How do you respond to things? We always wanted our home to be Christ-centered, peaceful, and joyful. And I tried to really cultivate accordingly, realizing that every time I said yes to one thing, I was saying no to something else. And our son, Ryan, was really athletic. From the time he was 4 on up, every team wanted him. He wanted to play every sport, spring, summer, all-stars, select. And we realized real quickly that our daughter she liked swimming, and so she was on a swim team. But we realized that sports could literally take every penny we had, every weekend we had, all the time we had. And we did this weird countercultural thing. We would go, no, I'm sorry, we're not doing All-Stars this year. We are going on a family trip. Or, I'm sorry, we're not playing spring ball. Or, no, she's not doing year-round swim team. We wanted our kids to have a balanced life and have time to go fishing with Grandpa. Or, let's all go camping this weekend. I didn't want Ryan's identity to be, I'm baseball. Baseball is it. Baseball is done, I'm done. You know, he did go on to play college ball, high school ball, college ball, and he signed with the Angels and played in the minors for a while. But we worked really hard to say, life is not ball. You know, God has put you on this earth for special plans and purposes, and they're way bigger than anything inside the three bases, you know. So, what I would love for you guys to do, we're going to take a few minutes. Oh, I was going to tell y'all one thing. Okay, so our parenting journey, it's not about perfection, which is really great because we had tried really, really hard to have kids and thought we may never have them. And I love kids with a passion. I was a teacher. I'd always wanted to be a mom. It was like the most important thing in the world. And I just wanted to be perfect. I just really did. But it's not about perfection, it's about progress. And as a mom or as a dad, you don't have to be perfect, but as long as you're taking one step closer to Jesus yourself and going, hey guys, come on, life with Jesus is the best, most exciting adventure you'll ever have in your life. Come on, this is great, we're going to church, come on, we're gonna serve, come on, we're gonna sit down and have our devotions, this is awesome. Just one step at a time closer. So I was I've been learning some lettering, and I thought, okay, I don't have to be perfect. It just sounds fun to me to sit down and make our little handouts. So I sat down and started doing it, and I realized that, like, I had stuck this one on top of this one, and this one had, like, half of it, all these little black dots. And I was like, oh, Lord, really? Do I have to redo the whole thing? And then he was like, no, life is not about perfection. It's about progress. And you know what? Cultivating is messy. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to put little dots all over this paper because that's dirt. Okay? That is dirt. And cultivating is messy. And it's hard work. And it's dirty. But anyway, so y'all can just think about that when you, if you look back on your notes. So I would love you to look on this side, and I'm going to give y'all a few minutes just individually. I would like you to think about, like, currently, what words would you use to describe your family culture? Like, these are words that are important to me in our family. Not what you wish or what you'd like, but what, like, be truthful with yourself. What are the words? I don't know. Are they rushed, overwhelmed, tired, angry? I don't know. Just be honest with yourself. You're the only one that's going to see it. Activities. List the activities, like the family activities that y'all are involved in. Time wasters. Just think what comes to your mind. Say, Lord, give me clarity here while I'm just evaluating. And write down some words that you would like to be the core values of your family. Like, this is what I would want. This is what I want for my kids. This is what I want for our family. So, I'm sorry, who did I get? Oh, so sorry. I'm sorry, Lindsay. Okay, so, on your mark, get set. Not with your partner, by yourself. Then you have to do it too. Ha!
Okay, guys, thank you so much for doing that work.
Wait, I had one more thing.
Oh, okay, say.
Thank you guys so much for doing that work.
Wait a minute.
We really do appreciate it. And we want that to be just the teeny tip of the iceberg of you. And I know some of y'all's kids are older, but beginning with the end in mind, it's like, God, what do you want us to be doing now? Like, this is like a good opportunity to reset your plan and think about, okay, God, here's where we are now. Where do you want us to go in this season? And then the next season, it's going to be, okay, God, here's where we are now. Which way do you want us to step this way? What do we pull out? What do we add in? So, Mel is going to talk to you about some spiritual disciplines in your family.
Yeah, and along the lines of what she was just saying about where you want your family to go, what if somebody looked at your schedule, the way you spend most of your time during the week, what would they say your priorities are? Our schedule kind of reveals our priorities, so that's something to think about. And that's what we're helping you do today. So before we can move forward to have Christ-centered, peaceful homes, we have to be in a good place spiritually ourselves. That's so important. So I'm going to spend a few minutes talking to you about your own spiritual health. It was really cool this week because Doug Cecil did a lunch and learn for Christ Chapel staff about this very subject. And he had so many good things to say. I wish I could say everything he said, but I'm going to make this really brief. Even staff, you know, need a refreshment on the basics to remind us of what's important. And, of course, without saying, prayer is so important. And I know as parents, it can be very hard to find a time to pray, but it's just imperative. You just have to do it. Doug asked us this week this question. He said, are you taking time to be alone with God? If not, why? That's pretty impactful. Why not? I mean, it should be our greatest priority. No matter how you have to carve out the time, if it's driving home from carpool or whatever, best case scenario, you have some quiet time without interruption. But just make sure you have some time in prayer every day. It's so vital to a culture that's peaceful and Christ-centered in your home. Prayer makes all the difference in our lives, and you have to develop a plan for it. Bill Egner, our executive pastor, uses a phrase all the time that he says it so much that we roll our eyes, but it's really an awesome phrase. Nothing becomes dynamic till it becomes specific. So set aside a particular time a day that you're going to pray. If it's just 5 minutes, you know, just or 2 minutes or 1 minute. And I've been a Christian since I was in the third grade, and I've never said a perfect prayer, you know. So don't get caught up on, oh, I don't know how to do it. You don't think about it when you talk to your spouse or to your best friend. You just talk. So just talk to God. And if you want some more tips on praying, you know, talk to Lynn and I. We're not experts, but we've been doing it a long time. So anyway, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Well, how can he make straight your paths if you don't acknowledge him? So praying is acknowledging God. So please, as parents, pray, and please, please, as children's minister, I want to say, please let your children see you praying. That is so important. They will model what they see you doing in your home. What's your priority will become their priority eventually. So please remember that. And Bible reading, of course, that's another basic. I think we all know that, but it's our guidebook for life. Once again, read from it every day. If it's just a few minutes, please let your kids see you reading your Bible. Please provide your kids with Bibles. My dad was fairly quiet about his faith, but he showed me the importance of quoting scripture once in a while. I personally don't have tons of scripture memorized in my head, but I have a few basics. And my dad always quoted this scripture to me, and it made an impact on me. Anytime I would be going through a really hard time, like as a teenager or whatever, my dad would say, if God is for us, who can be against us? And that is just ingrained in me because my dad said it to me. So read your Bible, let your kids see you doing it, and use scripture as your kids face different challenges or even good things in life, you know, let scripture apply. And one last focus on your own spiritual life is serving in community. This may seem kind of odd because we're talking about not being overscheduled, and that's true. You have to not be overscheduled. But it's very important that you attend church. You're here today, so I think you probably attend church. We just can't say how important it is. At least once a week, 1 hour, one service, because that becomes a habit that you want your children to have. And it's how they grow in their relationship with the Lord. You don't have to be here every time the door's open at every event. No, you do not. But make church a priority. Unfortunately, I've seen something difficult over the 16 years I've been in children's ministry. I've seen a lot of families start out with young children, and then they become involved in traveling sports teams or whatever, and they're gone. And that makes me so sad. So please don't do that. Make church a priority. It makes all the difference in your children's lives. And serving, let your children see you serving. It doesn't have to be like some big deal that you do all the time, but just once in a while, like maybe take food to an elderly person, or go serve one day at Union Gospel Mission, or teach in children's ministry. I promised my team I'd plug that. But anyway, no, there's many different ways to serve. You can serve at church or in your community, and please let your kids see you doing it. So anyway, I'm going to hand it back over to Lynn now.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about developing habits that align with your values, the values that you decide on that are important for you. And the first thing is about habits. They can be so small. I mean, think of a seed, how teeny tiny it is, and how it can grow into this huge oak tree or whatever. That is how habits are. And they can be super small and very simple. And I've been reading a book about habits, and it's talking about linking a new habit to something that you already do. Like, we all wake up in the morning, we go to the restroom, we take a shower, we brush our teeth. Okay. As parents, we can have habits with our children that over the course of their time in our home really build the foundation of their childhood, okay? It can be simple little things like every day for 10 minutes before Dad gets home, we're going to put on some praise music and we're going to pick up the house. Like, I wanted to have a peaceful environment, so I didn't like toys just scattered everywhere all evening. So, okay, for 10 minutes, we're all going to have fun. We're gonna praise and worship and pick up. Ready, set, go. I mean, you can even make it 5 minutes. It doesn't matter. It can be something as simple as, I love these seeds of faith. All these seeds, CDs that they sell down there in the bookstore are total scriptures to songs, and they're fun. They're not like super-duper kiddie, like, kiddish, like I memorize scripture with these. And so it can be something as simple as, especially while your kids are young and you can do this without it's a major revolt, do it. Say, okay, let's work on our scripture memory. It didn't have to be every time you get in the car, but let's say once a day, one song. You can all, something super small that's specifically tied to, we know we're all going to be in the car at some point. Okay, let's work on our scripture memory. Bedtime devotions. It doesn't have to be long. It can be 5 minutes. Buy a devotion book for whatever age your child is at, and this is what we do. We take baths, we brush our teeth, we have our devotions, and we say prayers. That it's just, you don't have to, the habits are great because you as parents don't have to waste any mental energy on thinking, what am I going to do? You've got some spiritual habits and some spiritual disciplines in place. At school, drop-off was one of our habits that was just easy. I didn't have to think about it. Even when Ryan was in high school, and before he was driving, I'd drop him off and say, "Oh, Lord God, I thank you that you are going before Ryan today. Use him as a mighty warrior in your kingdom. May he shed light at his school. Maybe he be an encouragement, a good example on his team. And just bless his day, Lord, so that he can bless others. In Jesus' name, amen." Or we would also pray before swim meets and after ball games. So one of my real things that I wanted to pass on to my kids more than anything that I felt like my parents had modeled really well for me is that scripture verse about rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5, I think, 16 through 18. But I wanted my children to see as they were growing up that when things didn't go the way Mom wanted them to, I didn't have a fall apart. I said, "Okay, thank you, Lord." And say we cannot, say we're running late. I mean, my natural tendency would be, "Everybody get in the car, oh, we're late." Okay, I had to learn, and I feel like the Lord really made it clear to me that, that I'll get in the car and say, "Okay, thank you, Lord, that we are running late today. Thank you that so-and-so could not find her shoe because you may be saving us from a horrible wreck. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus, that Aaron's birthday party got rained out today. We don't know why, but you've got a better plan. Maybe more people could come on a different day. God knows when we're going to have the best birthday party. Thank you, Jesus." Or after Ryan's ball game, let's say he was a pitcher. Let's say he did horrible. Let's say he lost. We would get in the car, no matter what age, if he was 5, if he was 20, and say, "Lord Jesus, I thank you for all you're teaching Ryan. Thank you that you're making him strong and mighty. Anybody can be a good winner. Thank you that you're teaching him to be an honorable loser. That is hard, Lord. That takes guts. You know, thank you that you're making him an encourager. Thank you that he's not one of those kids that throws his helmet in the ground. I'm proud of that. Thank you, Jesus." So just have some habits. They don't take much time. Not one of those prayers took more than a minute, maybe 30 seconds. Okay? So link it to something that you already do. When this happens, we will do this. How's our time coming now? Oh, yeah, we're good. I'm trying to think. That really held my kids in good stead because they had been used to that attitude from us as their parents growing up. Like when things don't, because let's just be honest, that's how life is and that's how God grows us, by hard things and things not going our way. And yes, we all want our children to be happy, and I'm not going to lie, if it was up to me, sometimes I would just say, "Oh God, just can it be just easy and happy and nice?" But I know from my own walk with the Lord that the hard things are what grow my spiritual muscles. And I've got to love my kids enough to prepare them for that. Whatever age or stage, start with the end in mind that you want to have kids that know God themselves, that love Him, that trust Him, and that will praise Him. And that your little small habits can have just a huge impact on that. We have a challenge we want to give to you guys to think of this weekend, to think of 3 core values that you would really like to describe your family life, your family culture, and pick 1 new spiritual habit that you can add to your family. And it can't just be some random. It's got to have a specific time. When this happens, we will do this in this place. When I'm dropping my kid off, I will pray in the car on the way up to the school. When it is bedtime, in their bedroom, we will have devotions and pray. Whatever it's going to be, think of 1 new thing. Mel, do you want to come up? I don't know if y'all have any questions, comments. We've got a few minutes. All right. Okay. Well, I just hope that the Lord will just really pour out in mighty ways great wisdom on all of you so that you can just pass it on to your children and see the way that God's just going to grow them up to just be instruments in His hands. It's exciting.